Welcome, everyone, to another brand new show. This is the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF, and as you guys know, we come to you live every Tuesday and Thursday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard time, same channel. We got a power-packed show for you guys, a whole hour full of everything. We're going to talk about all the top stories. We're getting to the Miguel Cabrera deal, the DUI case that he received today, hot story online right now. We'll talk about that. But tonight's focus of the show is going to be the NBA. We're going to talk about the 2011 NBA All-Star Weekend preview. We're going to look at the dunk contest, three-point skills challenge, and, of course, the game, and even the rookie and sophomore game as well. We have a special guest on tonight. We got Roddy B., fresh off of his first game last night. They played the Sacramento Kings. The Mavs won by 16. We'll talk about the night he had and his comeback and how the hype is just out of this world for Roddy B right now. So we'll talk about that. You'll hear him live on the show. And tonight we get our NBA power rankings. Now, we did this once before. It had a lot of people talking, a lot of people emailing in on the website, putting in their own power five. So we're going to get into all of our Power 5 tonight as well, too. Let me bring on my co-host real quick, Royce. Royce, welcome to the program, man. How you doing?
Hey, Rodney, what's going on? I'm sitting up here with my Nikes on and my racing gloves on. I'm ready for this weekend All-Star game and the Daytona 500. So I'm ready,
yeah,
man.
Oh, it's going to be a good sports weekend, even though we don't have any football. But a good sports weekend nonetheless. We got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's jump right into it real quick. Let's get into the top story everywhere right now. We'll touch on this real fast, and that's Miguel Cabrera. He is a Detroit Tiger. He was the second. He was actually the runner-up last year to the AL MVP that they awarded to Josh Hamilton. But he had a DUI charge. He actually got arrested yesterday around 11 p.m. And this guy here, he's had a related problem before like this. It was kind of a domestic disturbance kind of case. This was back in 2008. At that point in time, they actually put him in rehab, did a bunch of stuff for him to kind of get him back and get him ready to roll. Well, he kind of took a setback yesterday. And while he got pulled over, Royce, I mean, think about this. The guy was so drunk at the time. He took a swig from his bottle of scotch right in front of the deputy.
In front of the cops. Yeah.
I mean, something like that is like, you got to be pretty drunk to do that, am I right?
Yeah, you got to be drunk, bold, too. Yeah, I heard he also told the officer, do you know who I am? Like, that's what's going to get him a pass. I'm glad they're taking him to jail, man. You know, and in this case, it's not his first time it happened to him. Before, I understand he's been to rehab before, but I think he needs to take a step back from baseball and concentrate on him and his family right now, you know, and get his stuff together. So I hate to see it. It's one of those stories that come out, you know, about players. You know, they're human, too. It goes to show that they are human, too. But he needs to take a step away from baseball and get his stuff together.
I agree 100%. I think you hit the nail on the head. And when you get in a situation like that and you're that drunk, he was down there actually, you know, getting ready for spring training with the Tigers.
Right.
When you get into a situation like that, you have to take a step away from whatever sport or whatever else you're doing and work on yourself at that time. You got to get that together right away. So hopefully he can do that. But, man, I mean, this right here is a big deal for
a team
like Detroit.
Deal.
I mean, this is their biggest player on the team. And if he's got the DUI charge, they'll tell him what they're going to do to him in the court system. This could really distract the team for a good while, especially getting into their brand new season. So we'll keep you guys posted on that particular issue. And if you want to read more about that, go to our website, rfsportsradio.com. We got some brand new things on the website as well, too, and want to let you guys know. We now have RF Sports Radio TV. And what we're going to be doing, especially for the Dallas Mavericks and our partnership with them, we'll be bringing you guys the press conferences live as they happen. We'll be streaming them live. If you go to rfsportsradio.com, you can watch them there. And then also we'll be replaying all of our live broadcasts as well. If you go on right now, you'll see both the pregame and postgame press conference with Coach Rick Carlisle. You're also going to see Roddy B in his comments, Sean Marion, Tyson Chandler, and even the guest appearance from two other former Mavericks that were there last night Mark McGuire and Spud Webb. Well, former Dallas people, I should say. Spud Webb didn't play for the Mavs. He played for the Hawks.
Right.
But he was there last night, too, so they made a guest appearance on RF Sports Radio TV. So make sure you guys check that out. Thanks to Ustream for helping us put that together. So go to our website and check that out, and also be looking for us to stream some very live events for the Dallas Mavericks. We're going to do that on Wednesday when they have another game here in town. They play the Utah Jazz next Wednesday after the All-Star break. Let's jump into another quick top story real quick, Royce, before we get into our big topics. Albert Pujols, we talked about him on Tuesday. The deadline came and went on Wednesday. Yeah, exactly. He's not signed. The deadline came and went. And you expect a guy like that to kind of complain, jump in the media, make a big deal. But what did he do today after all this went down yesterday? He reported the spring training. You know, no sweat on him. He says, I'm here to work on the team, no distraction. I thought that was a big move for a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, he really don't want to distract and bring it on his teammates, and I can understand that because, you know, he showed up today with the media frenzy, man. I don't think he wants the distraction. I think these guys want to really get down to spring training, and I'm pretty sure within the week that they'll have a deal done. You know, if he's not concerned, I'm pretty sure they worked on something. They showed him today talking to the owner of the team, so I think his relationship is good. They'll get a good deal done.
Yeah, I think so, too. But I thought that was big of him to go ahead and jump on in there and get that out the way because you don't want that to hold up the team for a long period of time. So I thought he was really good about doing that. Other quick top stories real fast. Of course, the Daytona 500, you mentioned that, Royce, is going to happen this weekend, this Sunday, another big sports event. And this will be the 10-year anniversary of Dale Earnhardt's crash where he was actually killed at the Daytona 500 10 years ago. And his son, Dale Earnhardt Jr., won the pole.
Right.
He won the pole for that particular race, but had a crash on yesterday and knocked him out of, you know, pole had to restart in last place.
Right.
I mean, is this the ghost of his dad? What do you think about that? Because there's some conspiracy theories out there to think that people are trying to wreck him to get him off that pole.
Well, you know, Ronnie, I don't think that was his intention. But you know what's going to be exciting about Sunday is that they're changing. It's going to be a new style of racing, man. You know, these guys, I watched the practice today, man. I mean, so these guys, it's going to be something new for them. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a lot of crashes on Sunday because these guys are not used to this. It's going to take them a while to get used to it. So I'm excited to see it. The new thing. I'm kind of like, I like the old style. So it's going to take me a while for them to sell me on this new style of racing. But I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, you know, and it would be a great homage to his dad if he did win. So
yeah, I think so,
yeah,
too.
You know, come from his position now to win a race would really be a something, you know. So I'm looking forward to it this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I know we're having a couple of audio difficulties here, so we do apologize to everyone. Let's take a quick break real fast, Royce, and when we come back, we'll jump into our top stories. We'll talk about Roddy being his return with the Mavs. He'll be live, and you heard the interview with him. And then we also get into the NBA All-Star Game preview. And I can't wait because I know Rick is getting ready to call in for our NBA Power Rankings. We're going to do that next as well. You listen to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective. This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm here live with my good friend, CEO and creator of LawApps.com, Jared Rice. Why don't you let everyone know exactly what LawApps.com is?
It's a mobilized version of an attorney's regular website so that people can access the site on mobile phones like smartphones, whether it be HTC, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm, or any Windows-based system.
So why does an attorney need LawApps.com?
Well, if you have a regular website and people are pulling it up on their mobile phone, obviously they can't see it. So if you don't have a mobilized version of your site, you're missing out on millions of customers. And, you know, for business, that's not a good thing, especially in 2011.
So what's the best way for people to get in contact with LawApps.com?
Go to our website at lawapps.com, and apps is spelled with a Z on the end, not an S. Or they can give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-888-974-6784. That's 1-888-974-6784.
And it's lawapps.com, LAWAPPZ.com. Get your law firm out of the dark ages.
calling all models, calling all actors, all music artists, calling all comedians and producers. I got a question for you. Have you been having trouble finding gigs, and not just gigs, but paid gigs? Well, if that's you, look no further. Okay. We've got the perfect solution for your problem. Go to WeBookGigs.info right now.
Okay.
Sign up and create your profile. And let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get updates about shows and paid gigs sent directly to your personal Twitter, Facebook, email, and your phone. Now, the best thing about WeBookGigs.info is it's absolutely no cost to sign up. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. WeBookGigs.info right now.
Right now.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
Hi, this is Pastor Monica Wallace. I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Encounter every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter each and every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hear what the Kingdom has to offer you and have your own encounter. That's blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Encounter, Sundays at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time with me, Pastor Monica Wallace, and may God bless you.
Welcome, everyone. We are back live on the RF Sports Radio Show. We just talked about all the top stories going on in the sports world right now. Preview some stuff coming up, especially this weekend with the Daytona 500. And now we're going to preview, of course, Roddy B and his return. This was like the biggest story in Dallas yesterday. Everybody was anticipating him coming back when they introduced him in the game. We thought he was going to start, first of all. He came in about the 8-minute mark. And the crowd went crazy. I mean, the anticipation, the excitement. They wanted to see him ever since he went down during the preseason. And he came back. So, Royce, let me ask you first, what do you think about, you know, the anticipation, the excitement for Roddy to be in his return?
I'm going to say right now, I told you so. I said 5 assists and 10 points, and I think I was very, very close. But I knew he'd come out. I've been waiting on this for a while. For weeks we've been anticipating his return. Glad to see him come out there. It seemed like he had a spark to the team. It's another good thing for the bench. So I think the Mavericks makes him deeper on the bench. I really do. Glad to see him back. Good game, Roddy.
Yeah, it makes him a lot deeper. Let me bring on our other host, Rick. Rick, I know he follows the NBA to a T, as everyone knows out there that listens to the show. First of all, welcome to the show, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How you doing, man? How's everything going? Royce, how's it going, man?
Sitting there with my Nikes on and my racing gloves, man, already.
Your Nikes on and your racing gloves.
Already.
I heard that, boy. I hope you're going to be as fast as Roddy was out there last night, man.
Now,
while you bring it up, let's talk about that real quick. I mean, talk about the anticipation, the build-up. I mean, fans were excited to see him come back. I mean, the whole city was – that's all they could talk about.
Oh, without question. I mean, they loved it. To be honest with you, I think the fans got exactly what they was looking for. You know, Roddy came out and did his thing. The fans have been waiting for this boy for months, you know, and me
right.
included, you know, been waiting to see what he's going
right.
to do. He actually got out there. He got a little more time than I thought he would get, but it looked like he got out there and got into a nice little rhythm. You know what I mean? I mean, he played pretty good defense. I think he ended up with like 2 or 3 steals, you know. So,
right.
you know, Roddy did his thing. He got to the basket. But, look, last night was one of those nights for the Mavericks that, hey, they do not. Man, if they play like that, they'll beat the 92 Olympic squad, man. Everybody out there was putting the ball in the hole, man.
Right.
Everybody
right.
was putting the ball
right.
in the hole. The people that didn't score was the people that didn't need to score. Tyson Chandler and,
right.
and Deshaun Stevenson. Everybody else pretty much put up a double figure.
Right.
You know, they was out. Boy, they had one. They had a night that, you know, I don't care who they playing. They have a night like that, they will beat anybody. Man.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. And it was the atmosphere, you know, when I was there last night was like none other. You would thought Jordan would sign a 10-day contract or something. The way the amount of media that was there, how much talk there was about him. I mean, even Rick Carlisle before the game talked a lot about how, you know, when someone called him Roddy, he said, well, his name's not Roddy anymore. It's Rodrigue. You know, the Roddy was last year, the guy with all the turnovers.
Right.
They
couldn't
handle the ball. This year we have Rodrigue, and he's that player that's going to step up. He said some stuff yesterday before the game. He said that Roddy, he felt like Roddy knew the offense just as well as Jason Kidd. So he studies it so much. He knows all the plays.
Right.
He knows where everybody's supposed to be. But he did struggle last night with turnovers. I know the Mavs got the win 116-100, but he struggled a lot with turnovers, though, last night, Royce.
Well, that was first-time jitters, man, you know, getting out there on the court after being off so long. So he'll get over that. He'll be okay. I tell you what, the way this team has played the last couple of weeks, you got to give them a shot at winning the West. I mean, they got to be up there. So, I mean, go Mavericks. Now, let's think if Caron Butler came back after All-Star break or somewhere doing a run for the playoff, this team would be dangerous.
Yeah, man, and we're gonna find out how dangerous you and Richfield they're going to be when we get to our power rankings. So I ain't letting you guys
right.
off the hood. We're going to find out how dangerous. We're going to find out how dangerous the Mavs can be. As I mentioned, they did
right.
win the game last night, 116-100. Not only did Roddy have his debut, but Jason Kidd was on fire last night.
And yeah,
six
man.
6-6 from the three-point line, had 20 points. I mean, the guy was on fire last night. I mean, you just couldn't imagine the amount of excitement when he kept hitting those three-pointers. And Roddy was fine. And Roddy had a good game, a bunch of assists. And Kidd kind of stole the show. And Dirk didn't even score in the second half, and they still won
right.
by 16. I mean, that says a lot right there, doesn't it, Rick?
It says a whole lot. That's why I say, you know, if they can play like that, they can beat anybody. They didn't. The leader of the team, you know, ended up with 13 points, and I think he shot the ball two times in the second half.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
the Mavs was absolutely on fire, and a lot of that was predicated on the fact that Roddy B was coming back, or Rodrigue Beauvoir was coming back. Excuse me. You know. So they look at the way the Mavs responded to that, man. Seriously, they had eight
yeah.
guys in double figures. They had what was it, like 30? They had 34,
right.
34 total assists, man, as a team,
yeah.
34 assists. And J.J. Barea led them in the assist category with 10.
With 10, had a double-double.
You know, I believe their second unit is probably the best second unit in the NBA. I really do. They second unit, you know, they just as good as the first unit. I mean, these guys have been playing well. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
Don't you agree that they second unit? And, you know, they can hang with anybody.
Yeah, I think so. I feel you on that. But we're going to find out how well you like that second unit and then the power rankings when we do those at the end of the show, our second power rankings that we've done this particular season. We did catch up with Roddy last night, and we talked to him one-on-one about his return. I want to thank him because he's been on the show a long time, Royce. Ever since we started, he's been one of those guys that always jumps on the show and gives us an exclusive.
And
so
always
we caught up with him always. So we caught up with him last night after all the reporters kind of got out of his locker, and this is what he talked about, his return and how the foot's feeling now.
Well, we've been talking to y'all season about when you're coming back. Now you finally make a debut. How did it feel when you stepped out there? You saw everyone cheering, the whole hoopla about you coming back. I mean, the fan anticipation is pretty high.
Oh, yeah, it was big. Like I say, I loved it. It's always good to feel that the fan like you. So, yeah, it's, It was big.
Okay. And then also, too, I mean, 100 foot field, I think he gets the one full game in.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's not practice, it's actual game.
Oh, my foot feel good. Thank you. My foot feel good, but it's just my legs. I have to get my legs into it because it's been a long time. My cardio, too, but the foot is good. It's pretty good.
So you're going to be ready for tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Normally, except if they tell me something, I have to play tomorrow, but for sure I have to get a good rest and, yeah, find a way to be ready tomorrow.
Were you surprised by the amount of minutes that you played tonight?
I mean, he told me to be ready, so I had to be ready. I didn't think about anything. I didn't know what to expect, so I just had to be ready.
And it was Ryder B talking about, you know, the health of the foot feeling good. They're playing a back-to-back game tonight. They're actually in Phoenix tonight on the road, their last game before the All-Star break. But, you know, he says he's feeling good. I mean, he had a lot of turnovers. He was what they call -7 as far as the turnover-to-points ratio. But, man, a couple of shots that he made, he didn't really find his stroke until the third quarter when he hit that three-pointer. But a couple of shots he made, splashing to the basket, were huge. I mean, think about it now, guys. These guys got, you know, players on their team that's going to take the ball to the hole. I mean, that's got to be a huge plus for them at this time. Am I right, Royce?
Oh, yeah. Plus with J.J. out there, man, and Kidd out there, man. I mean, the ball handler, I've never seen this team this deep in guards. I mean,
yeah.
It just blows me away, man.
Yeah, speaking of that, you hit the nail on the head. This is Jason Kidd talking after the game about exactly that, having all the guards and having people on the floor that can penetrate and get to the hole.
It's going to take time. You know, he's young and he's going to make mistakes, but we're at Russian Ball Club, and we know when it's time to do something that will put the ball in the hands that it needs to be in.
And so the criticism of this team coming out of San Antonio series is that there just really isn't a penetrator on the floor.
Oh, we got a couple of them now.
Yeah,
I mean,
that change the dynamics totally with Roddy and Jay?
Yeah, you got two guys and three. I mean, you throw Jet in there. You got three guys who can get the ball to the paint and make things happen. Where they don't always have to, you know, Jet doesn't have to score. Jet's had games where he's had 7 assists, 8 assists, so it doesn't always have to be where our scorers are scoring, which doesn't sound right, but it makes you even that much more dangerous as a team. And then our star player, Dirk, doesn't score in the second half, I don't think. So if you were to say that, we wouldn't be, most of the time we would be sitting in here thinking about, you know, we got to get him the ball, or what did they do for, you know, to slow him down.
Eight guys,
that's pretty good.
Not bad. What's the key to the 12-13 win for this team?
Defense, you know, playing defense, even though we gave up 121 points in that Denver game, we had a great opportunity to win. And so when we play defense, makes our offense even that much better.
And sharing the ball.
Oh, yeah. When the ball doesn't stick, I think we're one of the toughest to guard. Because you've got so many guys on the floor who can score.
And that was Jason Kidd. I know it's real noisy in there. It was so many people in there last night, guys. It was amazing. I never seen that much media except for a Laker game to be in there just for a Mavs home game. There was a lot to talk about, though, from trade rumors to Roddy B's returns. It was packed last night. But you heard Kidd talk about having three-point guards, Jet Terry, J.J. Barea, and also Roddy B and slashers getting to the hole and how they could change the dynamic when it comes to the playoffs. Now, they had all three of these guys last year in the playoffs too, Rick. I mean, so what is different now?
Well, I mean, they're better as a team, you know, it looks like, collectively, you know.
Right.
And like Jason mentioned, on the defensive end, that's really what's been carrying them most of this year. Although they gave up 100 points or whatever last night, you know, that's a lot of points. And last night was one of their better defensive games. But defense is what's really been carrying them. You know, so they've gotten better in that area. But, you know, one thing he did mention was talking about, you know, the penetration of the guards and everything last night. You know, everybody was making jump shots. So when they penetrate and dish the ball back out, you know, they was knocking those shots down. And that added up really, really quick for the Mavs. They really wasn't missing a whole lot.
And, you know,
yeah,
most
right
teams
that
have one good guard. I mean, we got, like you say, we got four good ones. But at the same time, the difference I see this year, The difference I see this year, this is not just, you know, for years it's been Dirk's team. It's not just Dirk's team anymore. I think it's just more of a Carlisle's team. You know what I mean? Because they playing better.
Right.
Everything doesn't have to run through Dirk anymore. Dirk doesn't have to
get
the blunt of the load. You know what I mean?
True.
So this is the difference I've seen between, from year to year.
The worst thing about their whole situation, I think, is the fact that, you know, something's got to give. It's only so many minutes out there. And they have a slew of guards, you know, that can all do something. They all can contribute, you know. So that's the problem. Something's got to give. So somebody's not going to be getting a whole lot of minutes. Somebody's going to be trade bait. You know, it's going to be something at some point. Some of that's got to go. They need some meat. They need some height.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and
we
one thing they
about,
are, I mean, they stacked.
Who was going to step up? Remember that they were challenged this year. Because when Butler went we talked about this for weeks. Who was going to step up? You know, and we kept trying to pick a player every week, you know, somebody to show the spark. But it looked like to me the whole team stepped up. You know, they really have.
Yeah.
Everybody stepped up.
They're doing that right now.
You know, the opportunities there. Right. Yeah. So I'm talking about it. He come back, they're dangerous.
Oh, man.
And actually, last night, Coach did talk about not just Roddy's return, but, you know, having a team that's so deep like this. And listen to what he says when they ask him how is he ever had a team this deep and what he can do with a team that's got this much talent on it.
I thought it was, all things considered, pretty solid. Predictably, there were some ups and downs, but the important thing was that he was able to get involved. And, you know, 21 minutes is are good minutes for first time back, and we were able to stagger it over some, you know, three or four stretches of the game. So, you know, a lot of positives.
Can you talk about the execution of Jason Kidd getting some long range?
Hey, Kidd was great. And look, we got a bad start to the third quarter. They went on an 18-7 run or something like that. And, you know, he really was the one that brought us back to life with his three-point shooting. And, he hit the court four or five. And that was – it got the momentum back, and it set the game back in our direction. So that was really important.
Rick, it just seemed like there was a up-tempo and enthusiasm throughout the team, you know, with Roddy returning that.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited about it. And you know, we're playing a depleted opponent too, which I think adds to that somewhat. But it was the right situation to bring him back, and you know, it's the beginning.
Adding a healthy Roddy and healthy Page, have you ever had a team that was this deep before?
I haven't. No. But look, this team is built around, you know, a lot of pieces, a lot of important, valuable pieces. And, you know, the reality is most nights we'll go 9 deep, but we have the ability to go 12 deep. You know, that's probably the reality.
Kind of what you envision.
Yeah, you heard Rick Carlisle talk about some nights they could be 9 deep, guys, and could go 12 deep, and I think he's absolutely right. I mean, he's saying the same thing you guys are saying. They're deep. They got, you know, four good point guards or four good guards in that backcourt. They got three good centers. They got guys that can sub in from Dirk now and Brian Cardinal or bring in another big guy to go in there. I mean, they're loaded. They're stacked. So we're going to find out what they can do and how you guys rank them in your power rankings. Let's take a quick break real fast. When we come back, we'll talk about the NBA All-Star Game is going to be going on this weekend. We'll preview that. And we'll debut our new power rankings for mid-season. You listen to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective.
Tax time is coming, and you know you want your rapid refund as quick as possible. Call On Time Tax Services at 214-431-7853. That's 214-431-7853. 7853. Mention RF Sports Radio and get half off on your preparation fees. Call On Time Tax Services 214-431-7853 to get your rapid refund on time.
The new release from Rifleman, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Flow Fly, Mayhem, Kenfolk Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also featuring production from super producer, none other than Big Crit. Available now at all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, E-Music, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait, go pick up Smoke in the City now. It's blazing.
And we are back live, another edition of the RF Sports Radio Show. This is our Thursday show. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to be previewing the NBA All-Star Game, and we're going to be doing some stuff for that this weekend as well. You can follow us on Twitter if you go to twitter.com/RF Sports Radio. You can follow us there or go to our website. We'll be doing updates all weekend. Go to rfsportsradio.com. We want to remind everyone, too, you can now watch RF Sports Radio TV live from the Mavericks games. If you just go to our website, there's a player right there at the top of the page. Click on that. You can watch the same stuff you just heard, some of the interviews you heard. You can watch those live right there on our RF Sports Radio TV. It's going to be a great thing for the show. So be looking for that soon. We'll be doing some filming for the show as well, too. Let's jump into the All-Star game real quick, fellas. Let's go through the lineups right here. And let's start with Friday, because Friday night, of course, is the rookie-sophomore game. That's a pretty big game. It's actually grown, you know. I think the biggest rookie-sophomore game I saw had to be when LeBron and D-Wade and all of them were playing in that particular game. But it's kind of came up. It's actually an event now, although it's really a dunk contest more than anything, because no one plays any defense. But on the rookie side of the ball, you got Eric Bledsoe, which is having a great season for the Clippers. He's going to be playing point guard. You also have DeMarcus Cousins at center. Derek Favors playing forward. Landry Fields in guard. Blake Griffin playing forward as well, too. Wesley Johnson, Greg Monroe. And you also have Gary Neal of the San Antonio Spurs and John Wall playing guard as well, too. On the sophomore side, you got DeJuan Blair, a very good player, Stephen Curry, DeMar Rosen, Taj Gibson, James Harden, Drew Holiday, Serge Ibaka, and you have Brandon Jennings and Wesley Matthews playing on the sophomore side. Just looking at the rosters alone, I mean, they're pretty evenly matched, but you got to want to see Blake Griffin and you got to want to see, you know, Serge Ibaka, these dunk contest guys, and see what they're going to do. But Rick, from that roster, from what you heard, I mean, what do you think is going to happen this game? I know it's going to be a show-off, but if you had to pick a winner, just for the sake of picking, I guess, who would you pick to win this game?
I would actually go with the rookies this game. You know, I think that, you know, naturally the sophomores will be more seasoned, you know, for the fact that they had got their year under their belt. But, you know, I think this game is going to end up being the John Wall and Blake Griffin show.
It's going to be an
incredible thing. You're going to see people jumping over the goal out there, you know, and John Wall is just a person to get it to Blake Griffin, you know. Now, everybody's going to get out there, I'm sure, and show out a little bit, but, you know, a lot of this All-Star weekend, I think it's going to be about Blake Griffin anyway.
Yeah, I think it's really set up for Blake Griffin to be the star. I mean, it's at his home court at the Staples Center. And plus, he's gonna be a feature athlete all three nights. I mean, Friday night's the rookie game, Saturday night with the dunk contest, and then he's gonna be playing Sunday in the All-Star game. So I don't know how much he's gonna play in the rookie sophomore game, but I know he's gonna get some kind of minutes in there. That's his home court, so you know he's gonna be playing. Royce, you looking for anything special to happen this game? You looking at any players?
Well, you know, we all know Kobe Bryant wants to win on this court, but I think Blake Griffin is going to walk away with the MVP. But I'm going to give it to the rookies. I'm going to agree with everything Rick said because, you know, these rookies got more to prove. You know, it's time to shine in front of national media. So I'm going to go with the rookies, but I think Kobe Bryant does not win MVP this year. I'm gonna say that one.
Kobe's not really worried about that, but that's another story. But we're getting that later.
Well, we know Kobe in front of his hometown crowd in front of the big stage. Now come on, Rodney. We know Coach.
Okay. We'll see.
He got
we'll
a sympathy vote 1 year.
Yeah,
right.
I was waiting for you to take your shot. I guess you want to take it early. That's fine. That's okay.
Okay.
Don't let that ride.
Y'all choking me up over here, man.
Let's jump on Saturday. Saturday, of course, is the Saturday Night Lights event. Really, I like to call it the Saturday Night Live events. You got the slam dunk contest as a star, three-point shootout, skills challenge, all that's going to be going on as well. Now, let me give you guys a lineup of the three-point shootout contest. Now, this is going to be pretty good. You got Ray Allen.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant. Daniel Gibson, Booby Gibson, James Jones, Paul Pierce, and Darrell Wright. That's a pretty good lineup right there, three-point shooter.
That's a good lineup.
Looking for that, Royce, now I can only guess you're going to be going with Ray Allen on that one.
Of course. He's got to be your pick. The guy has hit more three-pointers than anybody in the NBA ever. You got to go with Ray Allen. Right.
And, Rick, looking at that three-point shootout, Ray Allen, Kevin Durant, Booba Gibson, James Jones, Paul Pierce, Darrell Wright, and it's a pretty stacked lineup right there.
It is stacked, and I think all of them are having a pretty good year, you know, from the three-point strike this year. You know, Ray Allen is the likely choice, without question, but I think I'm going to hit y'all with something a little different. I think Kevin Durant going to get him.
Kevin
Durant, he's 6'10", 6'9", you know, and his stroke is real nice and soft. And, I mean, he's got a real quick shot, you know, and once he gets the flowing, I know his shot is going to be going in. Kevin Durant is nice from the arc, man. He's nice from the court, period, shooting that ball.
And plus, Ray Allen is good when he's moving, you know, he catches and shoot. Whereas Durant is just a straight-up, stand-up, you know, three-point shooter. So I think he's going to come down to those two. I agree with you, Rick.
I'm going to have to go ahead and go with Kevin Durant, period. I think he's going to win this thing. I think he's going to win. I'm going to go ahead and give it to KD.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to KD.
Shooting it for him is so easy. Did y'all see him when he was playing horse last year? Him and Rondo.
Right,
it was him and Rondo.
Right.
He was out there shooting the three-pointer like it was a free throw. That was one of his shots. One of his shots. He said, you got to shoot a three-pointer just like it's a free throw. No jump, no nothing. Just shoot it. And he was just out there knocking it down. Lord. That's too easy for him.
I'm telling you, with no defense. Let's look at the stars of the night. That's got to be the slam dunk contest. Of course, this is totally different than the dunk contest we have grown to love from way back, from Spud Webb, who I saw last night, to Michael Jordan and the battles with him with Dominique. It's not like that. It used to be anymore. But you do have one star that's going to be dunking. That's going to be Blake Griffin. You got DeMar Rosen, Serge Ibaka, and JaVale McGee. Now, I didn't know a lot about these other guys, DeMar Rosen and JaVale McGee especially, but after watching a couple of dunks this season, these are high flyers too. I mean, are you looking at anybody kind of sneaking up, taking that position, or are you going to give it to Blake right away, Royce?
Well, Ryan, I tell you what, they're going to come with something totally different because the era has definitely gone out of slam dunk contest. I think by Blake Griffin being in there, it brings the hype back. I mean, the guy jumps higher than anybody I've seen before. I think it's going to come down to him. I really do. But I hope it's better than it's been in the past.
Now, Rick, you think anybody out there, Serge Ibaka maybe, is there anybody that can be dunking with Blake? I mean, I think Blake is going to be in the finals regardless. If he is in the finals, who is he dunking against?
If he's in the finals, I think he's going to end up dunking against DeMar DeRozan. You know, I mean, he was runner-up last year. I mean, the boy's a high flyer, and, you know, he's got, you know, kind of a nice size to him to where his dunks look, you know, a lot better. You know, I think that's going to be the problem with JaVale McGee. I mean, JaVale McGee is a 7-footer. You know, he's going to be able to get up there, you know, but his dunks are not going to look as good as the little guys. Blake Griffin is different. I know he's 6'10", but he jumped 45 inches off the ground. Something's wrong with that boy. He's a machine, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I really think he's going to look a lot like Sean Kemp in his dunk contest. I think he's going to look a lot like him. I think he's going to be high-flying power dunks, you know, and he's already the fan favorite. You know he's going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
All you
got to
do is hit
it
on the rim.
Yeah, and we've done that twice this season. But let me ask you this. Now, he is the clear-cut favorite. It's on his home court. We talked about that. I mean, but if you think about it, what dunk is going to have? Are we going to see any kind of new dunk, something we haven't seen before, or a variation of something we haven't seen? Because I think this is what it's going to take to beat Blake. I mean, Blake gets up there and jumps as high as he can, throws the ball down, jumps over somebody's head. He's a clear-cut winner. He's a favorite already. But, I mean, what dunk has got to be done, Rick, for him for someone to sneak up and take that thing from Blake?
Man, it's going to have to really be some arcade dunks, man. It's going to have to be something that you see on PlayStation or something. Every dunk, you know, it seems like anyway – it seems like every dunk has been done before. You know, somebody's done it, you know, one way, and somebody twisted it up and did it with the left hand or something like that. I mean, it's, how many dunks can you do? You know, somebody's going to really have to come up with something that we have never seen before. Other than that, all Blake Griffin got to do is jump up there, jump real high, dunk it real hard, bend the rim, and they're going to get a 50.
You know, I'd like to see them have a Rutgers championship amateur dunk off and let amateur, you know, compete in the slam dunk contest, because I've seen some guys on the playground that, you know what I mean? You know, they can have an amateur championship, and whoever wins that can go on to the NBA championship, you know, and I think that'll put a little spark, because some of these guys on the playground do some dunks that I have never seen before, you know.
That's
where you learn. So, you know, if it doesn't get any better, they're going to do something to spice it up. It's really not a bad idea. I think that put more pressure on the guys to dunk better, you know. So that would be a good thing.
It's not a bad idea either, for real.
That's a good idea. Okay. All right, Royce, we have to put that in motion. We have to go ahead and get
I'm on a roll tonight, right?
Put that in motion.
Right, I got my Nikes and my gloves on. I'm ready, man.
Let's move on to Sunday's festivities, which, of course, will be the All-Star Game. And it's going to be a star-studded event. I mean, anytime you do it in L.A., it's going to be big. And, I mean, it was last year, of course, by size having it at Cowboys Stadium. But it's going to be big in star power here at Staples Center. Let's go over the starters. For the East, the starters are going to be Dwayne Wade at guard, Derrick Rose at guard, Dwight Howard at center, LeBron James at forward, Amar'e Stoudemire at forward. A very, very good squad. The starters for the West, Kobe Bryant, his 13th All-Star appearance. Chris Paul, Tim Duncan, in his 13th All-Star appearance. He's replacing Yao Ming as a starter.
Right.
Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Durant on the West. And you think about the reserves, let's go ahead and go over the reserves real quick. I got to give them a shout-out because they did make the All-Star team. On the East, the reserves are going to be Ray Allen, Chris Bosh. So all three of the big three from Miami made it. Kevin Garnett, Al Horford, Joe Johnson, Paul Pierce, and Rajon Rondo. That's four Boston Celtics on the team. Then you got the Western Conference, the reserves, Paul Gasol, Manu Ginobili, Blake Griffin, the only rookie to make it, Kevin Love, in his first All-Star appearance in his third year. He replaces Yao Ming as a, you know, he's coming on as a reserve. And then Dirk Nowitzki made it, his 10th All-Star appearance, although it's up in the air whether he'll play or not. Russell Westbrook and Deron Williams also. He made it as well. So looking at both of these sides, if you got to pick a winner, guys, who you picking? You like the East? You like the West? Who you picking, Royce?
Wow. I'm not picking anybody. I will say this, though, and I'm going to go out on a limb on this. This would probably be the highest scoring points in the history of the NBA All-Star game. I'm going
to
go out on that.
They're going to have to score a whole lot
winner.
Of points, man.
But listen, you get seven guys. Now, on each team, he got the potential of seven guys in double figures. Say seven guys gets 20 points. That's 140 points. So no defense. Now think about it. All you need is seven guys in double figures, and you're over 100. So, you know, what can I say? I think it's going to be the highest scoring game. That's my prediction.
That's a good prediction. Rick, what you think? What are you looking for in this game? If you have to pick a winner, who are you picking?
Man, I want to pick the East in this one, but I think I'm going to have to go with the West. And, you know, I think the East are going to have more flash, and they have younger players. You know, they're going to get out there. They're going to run a lot more. They're going to be more of an all-star team, you know, being a little bit more fancy, you know. The West kind of got the veteran guys, the guys that's been in the all-star game before, been in the league a while, and they got one player on that all-star team that only knows how to play one way. He can't turn it off for the all-star game, and that's Kevin Durant. He plays one way. This is the all-star game. He's still going to shoot the ball 30 or 40 times. Watch and see.
Yeah.
Watch and see.
And COVID.
You know what,
though?
I'm with you. I'm with you, Rick, because I think the East is stacked. You know, if you look at the East and the players that they have, these guys are relatively a lot younger than the Western Conference team. They stacked. They got four Celtics. They got three Miami Heat players. They got Derrick Rose. They got Amari Stoudemire. All these guys at one time even talked about playing together, you know, before the season started. So now they're going to have a chance to really play together. So I like the way they're doing it. But, man, I think it's going to come down to the players that are going to play most of the game, and not them going to be reserves. And like you said, I think it's going to come down to Kevin Durant on the West and Derrick Rose on the East. I think them two are going to have to try to have the biggest games out of either one. And I got to give it to the West, too. I like KD. I love KD. And I like Blake Griffin. I think he's going to play a lot of minutes in his first game. And I don't think anybody on the East could guard Blake Griffin. You know, not one-on-one, not down low in the post. Because you're going to have Dwight playing Tim Duncan or playing somebody else. So I'm giving it to the West as well. Now, Royce, you mentioned Blake Griffin as your MVP for the game, as your surprise pick. Rick, who are you picking as the MVP?
I'm going with Kevin Durant.
I didn't pick him for the All-Star game. Go ahead.
Say again.
I didn't pick him for the All-Star game. I said the rookie sophomore game, he'd be MVP.
Okay. So you pick him for the All-Star game?
I'm going with Durant. Kevin Durant.
Wow. Well, that makes three of us. We're in agreement on that then. I'm going with Durant. If it's got to be an Eastern Conference, I'm going with Derrick Rose. And I'm going with Durant to be the MVP in the West win. So
we'll be looking forward to that. If it's on the East, I'm going to have to go with Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is that player. He only knows how to play one way, and he's going to try to shoot the light. Don't let him be losing. Don't let him be out there losing. Paul Pierce is going to try to get it.
That's true. On
both teams, these guys don't know. On both teams, nothing but scores. Everybody on there.
That's true.
Right. So
but like, you know, like Kobe and Duncan, you know, they 13 years in. You know what I mean? This All-Star game, they've been doing this. They liable to, you know, go ahead, Durant. Do your thing, man. It's your turn. Go.
Right. Well, we're going to be looking forward to that this weekend. And stay on with us on our website. We're going to be posting all of our picks from the NBA All-Star and our preview. You can always go back and download our show as well on iTunes. Go to iTunes.com and do a search for RF Sports Radio. We're going to bring on some more callers real quick. But before we do, I see Chosen in the holding tank, man. Just say, well, yeah, we're going to get you on here in just a second. But before we do, let's go through our power rankings. This is a big deal right here. We've been talking about this ever since last show. So let's get into our power rankings real fast. I want to hear everyone's top five list. And let's first give you guys what the press is saying. Now, this is Mark Stein's top five here from ESPN. He's a local guy. He's got the Spurs number one. He's got the Mavs two. He's got the Lakers three, and the Celtics four, and the Heat five. So that's Spurs, Mavs, Lakers, Celtics, Heat. This is what the poll is saying. We took a poll as well. Our poll nationwide has the Celtics 1, Spurs 2, Heat 3, Lakers 4, and the Bulls at 5. Mavs didn't even make the top 5 as far as it goes with the and they didn't make the top 5. I can't believe that. They didn't make the 5. So they had Celtics, Spurs, Heat, Lakers, Bulls. So now, let's get to our picks real fast before we bring on our callers. And I'm going to start with Rick. I'm going to let you, your top 5, because you were actually the first one to come up with your top 5.
You know, and I got to go with the Spurs number 1, despite the loss that they had tonight. You know, these picks was made last night. But I got the Spurs number 1. I got the Mavs 2. I got the Heat 3. I got the Celtics 4. And I got the Lakers number 5.
Now, one thing I see in your particular list, there's no Bulls, there's no Nuggets.
Nope.
I mean, these are teams that you like. You like the way you got them ranked.
Well, I like the way I got them ranked. I don't necessarily like the teams, you know, but I like them, you know, this way. You know, I like the game of ball. And the Spurs, man, they 45-10, you know, something like that. They 45-10, and they've been beating everybody out there. You know, they had a letdown tonight, so I had to go with them number 1. And the Mavs are right there. The Mavs have been beating all the good teams that they pretty much play against. You know, if they have a letdown, it's towards a mediocre team, you know, and that's something that the Mavs need to get over. But, you know, I would have to go with the Mavs number 2, you know. And the Heat, the reason why I give the Heat, you know, number 3, even though they lost to the Celtics, you know, the Celtics are hobbling a little bit right now. You know, and the Lakers, you know, I had to knock them down just for the simple fact that they lost to the Cavaliers. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
Yeah,
so
the Lakers got
to fall. I started to put them in number 7, you know. But I had to go ahead and leave the Celtics in there, because the Celtics, they play good basketball. Everybody know the Celtics has been doing their thing. They got good, solid players. They about a good 8-9 people deep, and they play good defense. They got the best defense in the league, period, hands down, and that's how they win their ball games.
Okay, I respect that list. I see you got some good, you know, good reasons for picking the way you're picking. Now, Royce, let me hear your top 5 and your power rankings.
You know, I thought about this long and hard, and I stressed this a couple of times tonight. I had to make a last-minute change. My number 1 pick is San Antonio. You got to go with them because of the record. They are the best team in the NBA right now. Number 2, I got Boston, because Boston has to be number 2 on anybody's list. Number 3, and this will surprise y'all, is the Mavs. The Mavs are playing better than anybody right now, and I picked the Mavs at number 3 because of that deep bench. My 4th pick is Miami Heat. You got the big 3. And my 5th pick, which was the hardest one to do. Matter of fact, after the Lakers lost last night, they got knocked out of the number 5 spot. So my number 5 spot, it was tied between Oklahoma and Chicago. But after tonight, I'm going to put Chicago at number 5.
Can't even go from Bulls.
Lakers are number 6. Okay.
And it's not hard to do. I mean, what the Bulls did, make no mistake about it, there's only been 10 teams that have beat the San Antonio Spurs out of 55, 56 games.
Right.
So, enough said. Yeah, exactly. Enough said on that.
Anytime you got Derrick Rose, you got a chance to win. That's my opinion. I think he's playing better than Kobe right now. I think he's more hungry than Kobe right now, and that's why I put Chicago at number 5.
Now, let me give you my top 5 real quick.
I don't know about that one.
let me give you my top 5 before I give you before we take some fan reaction real fast. My top 5, okay, I got number 1, I got the Mavs. Number 1 team, because they have beat the Spurs. They have beat the Spurs. First guy
in the game.
Let me finish. They have beat the Spurs. They got the deepest amount of talent than any other team in the league right now. and they're not even at 100%. Dirk is not 100%. Caron Butler, I saw him on the treadmill before the game. I'm talking about running on that knee, riding that bike. There's no question about it. He's going to be back in time for the playoffs. I like what they're doing. They won, what, 10 out of 11? Roddy comes back. Pager hit 22 against Houston. They're the team to beat. I'm telling you, they are a good team. And they beat the Spurs before when the Spurs are winning all kinds of crazy amount of games. They were one of the only teams to beat the Spurs. They've beaten more teams with a top, you know, with a over 500 record than any other team in the NBA.
Another quick opinion, though, Rodney, because I've talked highly about the Mavs, especially that game that they played last night.
Right.
You know, it was something else. But, again, that's the kind of game that you're not going to have very often. Can you play that type of game in a playoff series?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Can you
play that type of game? And not to mention, you know, they did play one of the worst teams in the league, though. You know what I mean?
It was
good to see them go ahead and do their thing, but I can't argue with your stats, your numbers.
I understand what you're saying. I understand how you feel, but we're looking at mid-season power rankings. And think about what this team's been through for the first half of the season.
That's true.
They've lost a lot of players.
Yeah.
They lost a lot of players that were hurt. Players are starting to come back now. And they only 7 games out from the Spurs. I mean, a lot of teams
and
that
are
having 2 in the West.
Yeah,
a lot of teams that are having 2 in the West, they would be way behind the Spurs the way they've been winning. They're only like 7 games out. And they've had to deal with no Dirk for a long period of time, no Caron Butler, no Roddy.
Okay,
Roddy just not came back. So that's my number one team. Let me go to my list.
Okay.
I got the Spurs number 2. I got the Spurs at 2 because they are the best record in the league. They're a very strong team, well-coached team. Okay, I got them number 2.
Wait, why did I get number 1?
I got the Celtics at number 3. So I got Mavs, Spurs, Celtics because they are the top team in the East, and they beat everybody in the East. Then my number 4, I got the Bulls. I got the Bulls number 4 because I think they are a better.
Better
I think they
Miami.
Are the second best team in the East. I think they're the second best team in the East. And then
better
I got
Miami.
They're better than Miami. I got the Lakers at number 5.
Oh,
I got
I
the
knew
Lakers
it.
At 5. Even though they lost to Cleveland. I still got to keep them at 5 because I know they have a switch that they can turn on. And a lot of teams don't have that switch that they can turn on, and they had that switch. This little stretch of the games before the All-Star break, they're just getting ready for the break. They had that switch they could turn on. They had that switch, no doubt. Now, the reason why
they
left the Heat out.
Royce, you see how he left the Heat out and he put the Lakers in?
Yeah, I know, Let me tell you why I left the Heat out.
The Heat are 1-6 against the Nuggets, the Celtics, the Mavericks, the Bulls, and the Lakers. They are 1-6 against all these teams that we all feel like are in the top 5. They cannot beat these better teams, period. They can beat up on Cleveland. They could beat up on Milwaukee all day long, throwing it off the backboard, 20-point seed, 30-point seed. They can do all that they can. But when it comes to the same teams,
you see it.
Right, exactly. When it comes to the teams that we all think are the top 5 teams, they can't beat them.
Okay, having said that, how can you pick the Mavericks at number 1 spot when their playoff record is so horrible?
Because it's not,
we know they're a good season team, but when you get to the playoffs, their record is horrible. So how can you pick them number 1?
Because we're not judging the playoffs. Plain and simple. We're judging where they're at right now, this particular season.
Okay.
We're not judging the playoffs.
Okay.
And the
Mavs
beat all these teams. They beat the Miami Heat twice. They beat the Boston Celtics twice. They beat the Spurs once.
You got to put Miami.
They
playing just as good as anybody.
But
right.
they haven't
See,
beat
and,
those teams.
And they haven't beat those good teams. And I give you that because that's a true statement. They haven't, you know. But a lot of that comes with time. They warming up on some of these other guys out here, and they trying to get ready for the playoffs. But, you know, they got to get in sync. They still haven't changed yet.
But even the Bulls
are
beat the Mavericks.
And
okay,
the Cleveland
but that's
beat
fine,
the,
like I said.
The Lakers. Right.
But the Lakers had that switch. Like I said, they had that switch. Let's take
yeah,
some calls.
The old twist.
We got a lot of people calling in. Let's take some calls real fast. 6037. I know this is Chosen. Chosen, welcome to the program, man. Let me get your reaction real quick on our power rankings. Now, if you notice, you heard everybody's list. There was one team that everybody left out, the Orlando Magic. I mean, that is a good team, especially in the East. But what is your reaction to what we said about our Power Five?
I think everybody got it wrong. You got the Spurs, number one. You got the Celtics, number two. The Mavs are number three. The Lakers are number four, and the Heat is number five. That's my reaction, man. That's where I sit. I'm not gauging the team right now. I mean, everybody knows these guys have been lollygagging along, that they're going to crank it up, you know, after this all-star break here. And I think what you're going to see is you're going to see that the Heat continue to fall down to the bottom of the barrel. I think the Lakers are really just playing like wounded ducks right now, just simply because of the fact that they don't want to be the top dog going into or the number one seed going into it. You know, I think they're just playing in the background, but you're going to see them open up a can on everybody in the West, and including even possibly the Spurs. You know, the Spurs are just, I think, right now what the Mavs normally do, which is dominate during the regular season, but we know it's some old beat-up bruisers over there. I just can't believe you guys are just, you know, actually making it seem like the Bulls have a chance at doing something in the East against the Celtics. I mean, I'm
they ain't
shocked
got
at all
nothing
this.
Neither one of them, the Celtics or the Heat. Right.
I'm telling y'all, y'all
sleeping on this Bulls team.
You got an MVP candidate in Derrick Rose. They've won 10 out of 12 games, the last 12 games, and that's without, you know, they full squad. They still they only played three games with Carlos Boozer and Joakim Noah together. They've only played three games like that.
They are good. I'm not saying that they're not good. I just don't think, you know, especially in a series, I don't think, you know, that they're going to be able to beat Boston or Miami. I don't think they would do that in a series. And one area where I do agree with Chosen, you know, like you say, Rodney, this is, you know, how they're playing right now. You know, but L.A. is still the team to beat in the West until somebody knocked them down. They are still the team to beat. You know, but I think chances are looking a lot better for them getting beat this year.
Yeah, it's simply because of the bench. I say because of their bench. They lost far more. They lost a lot of guys this year, and I don't see the depth on their bench.
Come on.
And if Bynum goes down, like we know he's accident-prone, they're really in trouble. So I the reason why I didn't pick the Lakers because I don't think their bench is deep enough. And these guys, Kobe can't play 38-40 minutes. I mean,
not every game.
Right.
Let me ask you guys too. This. What about the teams that were not on anybody's list, like the Nuggets, like the Magic? I mean, what about these teams that are good teams, Oklahoma City, Royce, you had them on yours, although you didn't pick them in your five spot. What about these teams, Rick? What about those? What about the Magic, the Thunder, the Nuggets? You know, what about those teams?
Well, I still think that there's some good teams, you know, and the more we do the power rankings, you know, the more and more our power rankings will change, going up and down a little bit, you know. I think Oklahoma City and Denver both, you know, have a good chance of doing some things in the West. You know, L.A. is still my pick. I stand by that. But, you know, it's not going to be as easy for L.A. You know, San Antonio's got a chance. The Mavs has got a chance. You know, the West is pretty much wide open. And Orlando, in my opinion, is just as good as the Bulls are. You know,
no,
they have a guy out. They have in my opinion, they are just as good. The Bulls got a guy out there that point guard didn't get out there and take over, and Derrick Rose, you know. But Dwight Howard is still a beast in the middle. And the Magic can win some ball games. You know, it's surprising that, you know, they're not getting as much credit as they should be getting, you know, because they out there winning games too.
And, Royce, what about the Magic? What about a team like the Magic?
I'll tell you what. I don't even know if Carmelo Anthony is going to be there the rest of the season. So that's why the Nuggets are not in my pick.
I'm talking about the Magic. Not the Nuggets, but
the Magic.
Orlando Magic.
I'm telling you something about the Magic. They like the Mavericks. They're going to win 50 games. But when it comes to the playoffs, I just don't see it. I haven't seen it yet. And they've let me down years, so I'm not going to go with it.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
And so,
right.
And tell us, what about some of the teams that were left out, like the Magic, like the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, like we talked about with the Nuggets. I mean, if Melo's there, I mean, he's putting up the numbers he's put up in the month of February, they got to be a contender.
Well, I mean, being a contender and knowing that these teams are flat out are not going to match up in a best of whatever series, it's a problem. See, right now, everybody's records is looking good because, like you said, they're throwing the ball off the backboard against the Bucks, and, you know, they're going in and playing teams, and, you know, they can play a tough team and then play four or five scrubs and still look like they're decent. But what happens when you match up in five games or seven games against a solid squad when you had these mismatches? Orlando, you pretty much got
okay.
one player on the team. And Denver,
okay,
you know, they just don't have a killer instinct. They never have, even when they were stocked up with AI. They don't have a killer instinct, and they're garbage.
Okay, let me ask you this. If y'all want to go with who's going to win a seven-game series, why do y'all not have the Mavs number one? With as deep as they are, why do you not have them number one? They had
I'll
eight
tell you
players.
Why. I'll tell you why
last
I don't have them.
Eight
I'll
players.
Tell you why I don't have them number one. Because, like I said, the game that they had last night was a phenomenal game. They are not going to be able to do that in the series. There's no way.
Why do
they
you
are
know
not
that,
gonna
though?
Be.
How do you know that?
Huh? Because, I mean, it's just not
that?
Made up like it's just not made up like that. They're not going to – a seven-game series where they're going to have eight guys in double figures and Kidd leading them and don't even play in the fourth and Dirk don't even score in the second half, bro. That's not – man, for real. Come on now. Because, I mean, this is going to – the defense is going to tighten up so much. Carlisle is going to tighten him up. You know, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen
right.
in the series, man. No way. No way.
Roy,
and it
Roy,
does come down to coaching. It does come. You got to look at Carlisle. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Roy.
Explain to me, because you've seen more basketball than I have in your days. Why is it that Dirk was able to get D'd up by a guard when we had the number one seed in the league? And why is Rifleman still believing that
I know
he's going to match up against a well-posted team? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Russ. I want to know what you think about that.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you're on my side, Rodney. And it does come down to coaches and matchups. And when you know, substitution, all that plays into the playoff game. And we've seen, and you questioned Rick Carlisle's decision. Last year, he benched Roddy against San Antonio. So, you know, you got to look at the Mavs are a good team. I get that. But when it comes to matchup in the seven-game series, we've always had trouble matching up. And, you know, this when they do, they switch on defense. We know they're good on defense, but they're not great. And when they switch, they get their butt kicked. Like you said, you can get Dirk on a guard. And that's one thing I've never liked about the Mavericks. But Carlisle is out to prove himself to me this year. I'm ready to change coaches because a good coach would coach his team through a series. And I just don't see it with this Mavs team. That's my opinion.
I'm telling y'all still in the Mavs. And, y'all, you got to really think about that roster and what they didn't put together over there. And the only thing that can stop them this year is going to be the coach. If he starts doing all this crazy stuff with the lineups, I mean, that's the biggest job he has to figure out who he's going to play in the lineup. I mean, you think about when Caron comes back. I'm telling y'all, they're going to surprise y'all this year. They're going to really surprise. They my number one team in the power rankings, put it like that.
I'll give them a chance. There's no doubt about it because they got some good players. But let me ask you a question. Do you think they can have that type of game against L.A. or Oklahoma City or San Antonio in a seven-game series? You think they can have four of them enough to win?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah, easily. Easily.
Well, I tell you what, if they have that type of game against a team like Oklahoma City wins the game.
Man,
they're not gonna do that, man. It's not gonna happen, man. Half of them players that was even out there playing ain't gonna even get no minutes.
Okay, but think about all the players that can touch the ball and score. All the players they have on that team, they can score. All the players they have on that team, they can shoot the 3-point. All the players they have on that team, they can make an assist. I mean,
the possibility is definitely there. It's definitely there. You know, I can't. Right. You can't argue with that. It's just the probability of it happening, man. Do you saw how they played last night?
Right. Yeah.
And defensively, I don't think they have it. You know, not yet. They are better defensively, but they give up too many easy passes, and they get killed in the paint. Rodney, we have no post player. We have no cleanup utility guy. And that's just the last play.
What is Tyson Chandler changing that, though? I mean, he's kind of changing that. That's what I'm saying. Well, you know, it's been a good discussion. I'm going to post everyone's top five. Tells them I'm going to post your power five on the website as well, too. So everybody go to rfsportsradio.com and check that out. That's been our show tonight. I know it's been a little long. We'll thank everyone for staying on with us tonight. And tune in on next Tuesday. We'll talk about, of course, the All-Star game. We'll get into a post-game, a little bit about that. We have some interviews on as well. And again, we thank y'all for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week. Everyone be safe. You listen to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective.